Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. A team of mom sleuths are on the case. Hello, listeners. Welcome to today's Studio Advanced program. We are continuing with yesterday's article called Case Solved. Today is April 25th, and it is our People article of the month. We started talking about this case that was taken on by this team of four moms. They didn't have any background investigation, crime investigation, but they took it on. And here to continue this case with me is Rhonda. Welcome back, Rhonda.
Hello, Linda. Are you a sleuth? Are you and I sleuths?
There hasn't been a specific case, but I think we would make good sleuths.
We'd make great sleuths. We need to find something that needs solving. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know. If something is ever missing, yeah. We need a mystery. Maybe an object is missing and you and I.
The case of the missing
bag.
I don't know.
The case of the missing bag. The case of the missing banana. Mm. But we need to have big magnifying glasses in our hands.
And maybe trench coats.
And trench coats and those hats.
Yes, like the Sherlock Holmes, the hunting hat.
Yeah. Okay, so to our listeners, we'll let you know how our career as
super sleuths
goes. If you have any mysteries, if you're missing a bag, if you're missing a banana, if you're missing a pet fish, call Linda and Rhonda.
Yes.
Super sleuths.
Get on the case, and try to solve it as quickly
even
as possible.
Even if it's a cold case.
Right, which is what we have here.
Yes.
Our story is about a cold case, right? An icy cold case. It had been uninvestigated, unsolved for at least a decade, about 15 years when the moms took on the case. We learned that they started the case during the COVID pandemic because they had time, right? And they wanted to do something that would give them something to do, right? So they didn't have much background, like I mentioned before. There was one with an accounting background, political opposition research, advertising, entertainment industry. So they're from varied backgrounds, but they didn't have any investigation skills,
right.
Per se.
They weren't on the staff of the police department, mm-hmm. So they were non-professionals.
Right.
So.
But they do work with the police, which we'll find out later. So they had to work with the police because they need information. They learned how to conduct an investigation. So this was a learning process, and we learned yesterday. They had bumps. There were ups and downs. It wasn't a smooth ride.
Yeah.
And they even faced risk, which is how we ended our program yesterday. And actually, when this book was being written, this book, The Carpool Detectives, they were a little scared about revealing too much about themselves.
Apprehensive.
Yes.
Great English word. Mm-hmm. Apprehensive, worried. You know, not sure what will happen. To be honest, I'm apprehensive about our career as super sleuths. I have to admit.
We can start small. Let's not take on a
missing
murder
goldfish.
Case. Yeah, like these women here. Their first case was a double homicide.
We hope we don't.
Two people who were murdered. They were trying to find out who the perpetrator was, who committed the crime, these murders. And we learned their full names in this article, but they told us for the book, the author, Chuck Hogan, only uses their first names. And it was a way to protect them because they had concerns since this crime involved organized crime. They were taking a risk. So they wanted to protect their families from harm. So they took these measures. But it's a little funny that in this article, we get their full names.
And this article is from detail. The LA Times, so everyone in Los Angeles can know their names.
Right. So today we will learn exactly the nature of the case. Yesterday we were introduced to all of the sleuths, all of the mom detectives. Today we'll learn more about the case, who was involved, and let's hear about that now.
Teaming up. The basic details of the cold case are this. An older couple living a seemingly comfortable life in the LA suburbs mysteriously disappeared a couple decades ago. Victims of an apparent road accident, their bodies were found a few months later near their wrecked SUV in a mountainous area. After more than a year, the LA County Sheriff's Department moved the vehicle due to evidence that the couple's death was suspicious. Although the investigation was covered in the media, it soon faded away. Until, that is, four moms who became such close friends that they now can finish each other's sentences, started looking into the case a decade later. The women sought out the help of sometimes reluctant police officers and the victim's family members, bumbling at times as newbie investigators.
Okay, so we learned the basic details of the case, of this particular cold case. What are they, Rhonda?
An older couple living a seemingly comfortable life in the LA suburbs. So those are two details right there. Older couple, LA suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Mysteriously disappeared. I guess I'd call it the third detail. And a couple decades ago. So that's the basic details.
Okay.
The time, who they are, who, what, when, where, I
mm-hmm.
guess you'd say.
Yeah.
And they were victims, interesting, an apparent road accident. Why does it say
right.
an apparent road accident?
Yeah. So it seemed like their deaths were caused by getting into a traffic accident, right?
It appeared, I guess.
Yeah, right. That looks can be deceiving, right? So just a little bit more background. This older couple, they had a business. And what people first thought, or investigators first thought, they had just disappeared. They ran off. They had taken this money that they borrowed from the bank, and they ran off. And like it was intentional. But then they found the bodies of this older couple. So a few months later, their bodies were found near the wrecked SUV in a mountainous area. So they did get into this traffic incident. They wrecked their car, their sport utility vehicle in the mountains. And it seemed like, oh, well, they just died from this car accident. But then it seemed a little suspicious,
mm-hmm.
right?
Due to evidence that the couple's death
right, so it was a little
was suspicious.
More than a year later, the LA County Sheriff's Department, they saw the death as a little suspicious, so they moved the vehicle from that mountainous area to a place where they could investigator took it in as evidence, right? So this investigation also made it into the news, right? Because it's this mystery. What happened to this couple? Like, what's the story behind their death? Like, were they killed? Was this just an accident? And so it did make it into the news. But like all news headlines, what happened to it?
People forgot.
Yeah. It faded away.
Like, you picture the writing, and then it gets lighter and lighter and is forgotten.
That happens to breaking news or all news stories,
mm-hmm.
right? It never stays in the news.
Especially in Los Angeles. I hate to say, but in Los Angeles, there's probably a lot of murders,
a lot of crime.
A lot of crime headlines.
Being reported on.
So sadly, people would forget about it.
Right. So that's just the cycle of the news, right? That's the news cycle. So new things will pop up.
And I just remembered yesterday, did one of the moms was in a journalism class and she heard about this case. So she was in a class learning about writing for newspapers,
mm-hmm.
writing journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And the professor used this cold case to obviously teach something in the class. So it faded away, but maybe that's why in the journalism class, the professor said, let's take out this old case.
Yeah.
That sounds like an interesting class.
Yeah, and that was Marissa Pianco that we learned about yesterday. Yeah, she's the one that heard about this in a journalism class, and then she, you know, decided she wanted to solve it and invited her three, at that time, acquaintances, but became friends, right? So the four of them decided to take this case on.
And it says it's an older couple. There's something about that English phrase, an older couple. I picture like grandpa and grandma.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't say that about someone in their 50s.
Right.
So maybe that's part of why this younger woman said, we should solve this.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it says an older couple, it really conveys, you know, I think of grandparent people
right.
that
they
time of life.
They probably had kids and grandkids that were wondering what happened to them.
Yeah,
like they would want this case to be solved and to bring closure, right, to their family.
And then to find out that organized crime was involved.
Yeah.
What were Grandpa and Grandma doing? It's just very interesting. I've got to read the book, Linda.
Yes.
We have to read the book.
You do, to get the full story. So learned that this case, it wasn't easy. We learned yesterday different ways of describing the bumpy road that they had in pursuing this case. So these four moms who became such close friends that they can now finish each other's sentences started looking into the case. So have you ever had this experience? You're so close with someone that you guys finish each other's sentences. Like you're thinking the same thoughts. So you can just talk for one another.
I can't think of one friend. We always do that. But there's been conversations I've been in where you fill in a word for someone.
Mm-hmm.
But this does indicate a very close relationship. And we say that in English. Wow, we can finish each other's sentences. That whole thing goes together, to finish each other's sentences.
Yeah, that means that two people or those people are very close. And because they are talking about this case, they know all the details. They've been studying the same thing. So in particular, talking about this case, they can definitely finish each other's sentences.
Sitting in that backyard.
Yeah.
I still have that image of these women in the backyard where you would usually relax.
Right, probably
finishing
watching
each other's
kids run around, you know, supervising them as they look at clues from the case. So in the investigation, the women sought out the help of sometimes reluctant police officers. Why would the police officers be reluctant to help them?
I can picture that. I can picture the police officers
being unwilling.
Saying, these women, they're telling us we haven't done our job. So they would be reluctant, hesitant to help. And it says sometimes hyphen reluctant. It's not saying they were always.
Right.
Reluctant.
Sometimes they were unwilling to help them, probably because they felt, you know, these women, they don't have qualifications to actually be investigating this case, and maybe they're getting in the way, and they're taking up the police officer's time. They could be doing other more useful things instead of talking to them.
And how many, it says it was a couple decades ago, so I wonder how many times those women heard the word cold case.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cold case, ladies.
Yeah.
It's a cold case. I bet they heard those words a lot. They were probably told, we can't solve it. Don't even try. It's a cold case.
Right. They'd already maybe given up on
that.
It's
in the freezer.
I didn't think there was any likelihood that it'd be solved, especially by these four moms who don't have any background in crime investigation.
And the rest of the sentence there, after sometimes reluctant police officers and also victims' family members, they sought out.
Yeah, they would need to interview, talk to the victims' family members to find out more.
Yes. And so they were bumbling. They were bumping around, acting clumsy. They bumbled at times. Here's another way these women are described.
Yeah.
Newbie investigators. No one wants to be called a newbie, do they? Like, you're just a newbie.
Well,
it's a funny English word.
I guess if it's true.
I guess.
But it does indicate that you are new. You're just starting out. You don't have experience, and you don't have as much knowledge as someone who is more experienced, who's not a newbie.
And we want to go back to that phrase, the woman sought out help, because there were newbies. Because they bumbled at times, they had to seek out. That would be our English phrase, to seek out. This is the past tense. They sought out help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they needed help. And the bumbling also goes along with the bumpy road, right? Not moving smoothly, faltering. And it would involve a lot of work, right? They'd conduct these interviews, talk to police officers, run around, do a lot of legwork, right? Run around trying to get information, more information about the case. So let's get to our final reading of the article to listen to the continuation of this case.
Earning respect. Many dead ends and a visit to the crime scene later, the women finally figured out who done it. It was 2.5 years before we really broke it, and it was completely different than we thought it was going to be in the beginning, Pienko says, and how law enforcement thought it would be, Lancet Blank says. For Wilkinson, the biggest surprise was law enforcement's reaction upon hearing that the mom squad had cracked the case. I feel like we really did truly earn respect, she says. The newbie crime solvers and their families undeniably experienced some rough patches over the course of their sleuthing, but none of them were daunting enough to deter them from diving into another investigation when a detective they had been working with brought over a trunk full of possibilities. Now, with the carpool detectives in bookstores, the crime solvers are closing in on a suspect for an even bigger case. This one involving a potential serial killer of the 1970s and 80s.
Okay, earning respect. I like how this part of the article opens up. Many dead ends and a visit to the crime scene later, right? This opener, usually when we use later, blah, 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 later, like it's a period of time. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, mm-hmm. an hour later, a month later. But we can also add events or objects in this usage, in this phrase. So here we have, or something like, okay, 3 pieces of cake later, right?
Right.
Like I ate 3 pieces, so
right.
I was very sick.
It's not
sick,
just that time passed, mm-hmm. but a bunch of things happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just a time word needs to become before later, but what's done.
And in this case, it's many dead ends, right? We learned about the dead ends mm-hmm. on the first day that they encountered. So they experienced many of those, and they also made a visit to the crime scene. So after all of these things were done, the women finally figured out who done it. And I like, this is a very interesting word,
yes.
right? So it's defined as a noun, and it's actually a genre. What is this genre?
Well, the genre is books or films about murder.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun way to put 3 English words together, who did it,
mm-hmm.
or whodunit
yeah.
being slang. I wonder if some character in a movie, maybe he was a sleuth, said something like whodunit.
Yeah, probably.
So probably. It has become a word in our dictionary, whodunit, mm-hmm. spelled with 1 or 2 N's, but it originates from somebody asking the question in a fast way,
mm-hmm.
whodunit.
Yeah.
They used wrong verb tense when mm-hmm. they said it. So it is a fun. So I might recommend a book to you and say, oh, this is a great whodunit.
Yes, right.
I'm not saying who did it. I'm calling the book mm-hmm. a whodunit.
Right. And you know that it is going to be a book about a murder case, right? So that is what a whodunit is. And it's used here playfully, like it's a kind of a
playful
pun, like a play on words. So they figured out who did it, whodunit. Right. So it was 2.5 years before we really broke it. And it is the case, right? Before they broke the case. And it was completely different than we thought it was going to be in the beginning, Yes. We learned that this, well, from our deck, right? This was surprising. They surprised the professionals and themselves. Like, the results of this case were not what they thought it was going to be.
Yes.
And not what law enforcement thought it would be either.
Mm-hmm.
Chimes in, right? So they're probably filling, completing each other's sentences here.
Yeah. Yes. And another word for police, law enforcement. We've got in this article different names for the same people, crime solvers, sleuths, newbie investigators, and likewise different names for the professionals, police officers, law enforcement.
Right. And the biggest surprise was the law enforcement's reaction upon hearing that the mom squad, right?
there they go, mom squad, another name for
them. Yeah, the team of moms had cracked the case. They had solved the case. So they felt like they really earned the respect of the police because nobody was expecting them to solve this. Like, who, like, they're these four moms, these stay-at-home moms or retired, you know, like people who had given up their careers to take care of their children, which is very admirable, but they didn't have any investigation experience. So there was no expectation that they would solve this murder mystery.
And look at the fun way they're described, the mom squad.
Mm-hmm.
Police squad is what you call the arrival of many police cars going with their lights on. We talk about a police squad, or a whole police squad came. So to call them a mom squad is another humorous phrase this writer is using to say they really weren't police.
Also, squad has just become a word to describe the people who you are friends with, like your crew, your team. Like,
it's squad.
I think it's a millennial, more of a millennial term.
Okay.
Yes. So my people, my squad, you know, like, but here,
the mom
it is
squad.
Probably the police reference.
Okay, right. That's, you're teaching me something about English there, because I think of a squad as, I didn't know it was a more commonly used fun phrase. Now I think of it as like police squad or the basketball squad.
Originally, yeah, that's
but
a usage.
But now, I say that? Hey, you want to be in my squad? Let's go for lunch. I might try that new.
I think it's generational.
I'm not a millennial. I'm not a millennial, and I'm not Gen Z.
And Gen Z has a different word.
Oh,
they don't use squad. I forget what it is, but
I don't know what the
know
word
what
is.
It is. You can write in. So this team, this mom squad, the newbie crime solvers and their families undeniably experienced some rough patches. And then this is a reference to the bumpy road that they had in solving this case. So the rough patches over the course of their sleuthing. But none of them were daunting enough to deter them from diving into another investigation. So they were not daunted. Nothing was daunting. Nothing was scary enough, frightening enough, discouraging enough to prevent them from pursuing another case, right? Nothing that deterred them, prevented them, kept them from continuing. So they were really encouraged from solving. And I can imagine that, like, the sense of accomplishment that they would have felt after solving the first case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they had this trunk full of possibilities, like these other cases that they were presented with, right? This detective had been working with, brought over a trunk full of possibilities that they could take on as their next case.
Mm-hmm.
So they are ready to continue with their sleuthing, right? So the book on their first case, The Carpool Detectives, are in bookstores. And what do we learn about what the mom squad is doing?
The mom squad, the crime solvers, are getting close, closing in on a suspect. So they are getting close to the criminal.
Mm-hmm. Right, to find
someone that they is suspicious.
Right.
For an even bigger case, one involving, this is bad, a potential serial killer.
Yeah.
Of the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah.
So, wow, already I'm ready to buy this book when it's ready.
So a
potential, then we're going to put these two words together, serial killer. That means this person has killed a series of people.
Right.
Just say potential serial killer would mean there were many murders that seemed alike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Possibly it was one person.
Yeah. So this is a bigger case in many aspects, right? It involves a lot more murders, right? This potential serial killer means that they would have killed many more people than just two people, so elderly couple from the first case, and it's even colder, right? These are murders that would have taken place in the 1970s and 80s, so 40, 50 years ago, right, versus a couple decades ago. So they're working with a colder case, more like a bigger case. Yeah, and I imagine it would be scarier too. And this is the sound of a serial killer. Well, that's enough too
to put people off. And notice, going back a little bit, those moms, remember they do this in their backyard, had a detective that knew them bring over a trunk that's bigger than a suitcase, a trunk full of possibilities. So he brought over a trunk. So he comes with a physical box or collection of papers about another crime.
Mm-hmm. Which I think, it definitely could be literal here.
Oh, okay.
Or it could also be figurative.
I mean, in this case,
you could also use a head trunk full of ideas, trunk full of possibilities. But I think, it probably was a literal trunk because the case files, but it could work either way.
Oh, that's good to point out because in my mind, I pictured this old-fashioned wooden box with a big lid. So I am already thinking like a novel, I guess.
Yes. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. But tell us if you want to read this book. I think we both do, Rhonda and I. Thank you for listening today. And that's all. My name is Linda.
My name is Rhonda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.